ours to protect. Brought to you by Live 95, the IBI, and funded by Commission Le Mans with a television license fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more info.
For this week's episode, I spoke to environmental journalist and commentator John Gibbons. Based in Dublin, John has been writing and speaking about environmental and climate-related issues for the last decade and a half. He also maintains an environmental blog at thinkorswim.ie and climatechange.ie, which provides a one-stop source of information and opinion on climate-related issues. I began by asking John what inspired him to get involved in climate journalism.
Yeah, I guess my background is as a journalist from many years back, and then I'd moved from journalism into the business side, publishing and so on. And about 20 years ago, my eldest child was born, and I suppose that kind of really put me in the mind to think into the future, I suppose, to be thinking 20, 30, 40 years hence. And I suppose that started me down the road, really, of reading a lot of environmental publications, a lot of science around biodiversity, around climate change. And I suppose that kind of took me on a journey, if you like, to use that phrase, that I'm still on, really, which is coming to terms with, the global climate and biodiversity crisis. But it takes a long time, really, or can take a long time to fully come to terms with it. And I guess that's what I've been working towards.
And something that I'm really interested in your work is how you can get any story and see that there's a climate angle to it. In the work in Ours to Protect, someone said to me that we look at every news story through an economic angle, how it'll affect the economy, but we urgently need to start looking at how it'll affect the climate. And I saw with the RT payment scandal, even you were able to look at the late through that lens. Do you find that most stories you can find a climate angle on them?
Yeah, pretty much. I suppose the way I see it is that our societies, even our economies, they're really wholly owned subsidiaries of the. They're all around us, but they're kind of invisible to most. So I suppose, yeah. In short, when you look closely at this, you can see everywhere you look. Really, what you see really in nature is that everything is connected. Every system connects to every other system, sort of like a vast global spider web. And once you begin to understand that, then you can get a clearer picture of the connectedness of life and the fact that we humans and all our economic activity and all our endeavors, they're all connected to the natural world, in many cases in very dysfunctional ways, but we're still connected.
And something I encounter a lot is people who say, well, Ireland is such a small country, what difference does anything we do make in the grand scheme of things? What would your response to that be?
Yeah, it is. I've heard that many, many times. I was on a show with Pat Kenny, the broadcaster, one day, and he said exactly that comment to him. So my reply to Pat was, I said, do you vote? And he said, of course I vote. And I said, that's right, Pat. Why would you bother voting? Your vote is only one vote among millions. And of course, I was being facetious, but the point I was making very simply is, of course it matters. For example, if you take the emissions arising from 5 million Irish people, it amounts to 68 million tonnes per annum. That's the same emissions, by the way, as ejected by the 400 million poorest people in the world. So we may be small, but we punch above our weight. We're among the highest emissions per capita in the European Union. And these, by the way, are sort of exaggerated. They're overstated because of the huge emissions from our livestock sector in particular. And, of course, those emissions are kind of attached to each of us as individuals, even though we're not beneficiaries of them. We're responsible for them legally. So it's one of the reasons why our national emissions, despite having quite a small industrial sector in Ireland, our national emissions are sky high, even by European standards. And it is something that is really a national shame.
Have we any chance of keeping below the 1.5 degree target that we had with climate change, or are we gone past the point of no return?
Well, first of all, I would never say never. But secondly, I was reading a report earlier this morning from the science journal Nature, and they're now saying that at the start of 2023, scientists estimated a 1% likelihood of the 1.5 degree for the whole of 2023 being breached this year. They've upgraded that estimate now to 55%. So we now have a better than even chance that 2023, across the entire year globally, would have exceeded 1.5. So, frankly, I'm just absolutely aghast. It's incredible. We've had a year of heat like we've never had before. And this isn't just 2023, isn't just the hottest year on the instrumental record, which goes back to about 1850. Scientists believe that 2023 is the hottest year on Earth in about 125,000 years. This is how extreme and extraordinary it is. And those people paying attention, with what we've seen, this has manifested itself right across the globe, particularly the Northern Hemisphere, with extreme weather events, heat waves, droughts, crop failures, and then extreme flooding events. We've had so many that it's almost impossible to actually keep count of them.
And finally, John, I saw on your blog, Thinkorswim, that you said we're one of the few generations who can still make a difference. I'm wondering what initiatives would you like to see that could genuinely make a difference?
I would start with having a serious conversation about food security. I have huge worries about the future of food across Europe, across the Northern Hemisphere, across the world. We've seen so many food systems that are already being stressed by extreme weather, by droughts, heat waves, flooding events. For example, there was a massive flooding event in Greece recently that destroyed tens of thousands of hectares of some of the most prime Greek agricultural land has been inundated, and it's reckoned that it'll be at least a decade, maybe longer, before that produces any food again. So what we're seeing is the huge vulnerability to extreme of our agricultural food systems. Yet here in Ireland, we're still exporting 90% of our primary produce, which is beef and dairy. Yet we're importing 85% of our vegetables and our fruits. That's something that, you know, if I had a magic wand, I would establish in the next government a ministry for food security. And that ministry would replace the Ministry for Agriculture and focus primarily on how do we secure our national food supply to make sure that the purpose of agriculture, which should be to make sure that we're able to feed our own population, not necessarily our livestock, but our human population. But let's be honest, the livestock are only there to feed us anyway. So we need to find the most efficient ways to do that. There are other international models for this. For example, Holland, a country only a fraction, about a third the size of Ireland, with a huge population, 17 million people, the world's second largest food exporter. They produce 100 billion euros a year. And how do they do it? They do it through advanced horticulture. They have tens of thousands of hectares of agriculture being operated under glass in greenhouses and so on. And this, if you like, represents the future of farming, where we use high technology, we use systems like hydroponics, which mean you use water more efficiently, and by controlling the environment, you also eliminate pests, which means you don't have to spray everything with pesticides. And they're producing food for human consumption in huge quantities on limited areas of land. In Ireland, we're basically, agriculture is occupying every niche everywhere. We need to give lots of our countryside, particularly our wild countryside, our mountains and hills, need to be given back to nature.
To read more of John's work, check out thinkorswim.ie and climatechange.ie.
Ours to Protect is funded by Commission Le Mans with the television licence fee and is a partnership between Live 95 and the IBI. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more info.